When I was a young girl, home for me was not wherever the Air Force sent us or my stepfather took us. Home for me was my grandma and grandpa's house on Howard Street in Taylor, Texas. The house had only two bedrooms, and for most of my childhood, my uncle and his wife claimed one of the rooms, so I would spend my nights in my grandparents' room. Every night, after watching the 10 o'clock news like it was a gospel reading, my grandparents would turn off the lights, turn up the big window fan, and talk loud over the noise of the big window fan. They'd talk on and on. The only thing more memorable to me than how long they talked was how loudly they talked. I always fell asleep with them still carrying on about Mr. Louie and his bad hip, or how shameful it was that the farmer to the east let the Johnson grass grow up so high in his maize, or who had won how much at bingo at the VFW. Marvin and Alvina. They would be so embarrassed if they were still living and ever learned that I'd included them in a sermon. Because they were humble people. Theirs wasn't a world of travel or romantic adventure or even comfortable living all the time. With neither one owning above a fourth grade education, they worked hard jobs, often more than one at a time. And they raised kids and spoiled grandkids and teased and fought and made up and kept secrets from each other. And by the ends of their lives, fed each other and helped one another to the bathroom in the night and remembered things for each other. Theirs was a long-lasting and intimate relationship. Experts suggest that one of the main reasons people have difficulty creating and maintaining those intimate relationships is that they have few, if any, role models for intimate relationships. I don't claim to be an expert on them, but I'm confident whatever shortcomings I have in that area are not for lack of good role models. I had my grandparents, and I have many of you. Of course, I didn't realize or appreciate it fully when I was young. But my grandparents offered me an up-close and personal view of intimacy. Writer Marcy Crane provides six characteristics of intimate relationships that last. I'm going to share them with you quickly. Number one, you stand the test of time. Now, this is interesting. The neurochemical phenylethylamine that you produce when you are initially falling in love will wear away after only a few months. Only then can real intimacy begin. Number two, you figure out how to be a couple and how to be separate individuals. Couples, especially after they exit the "you are the most perfect person I've ever met in my life" stage, must find a way to maintain individual interests and pursuits. Number three, for long-lasting intimate relationships, you feel good about yourself. An intimate relationship is fulfilling and healthy and helps you believe in your own value and your own potential. Number four, very important, you maintain a sense of play. Maturity and fun are not mutually exclusive. Couples with an adult relationship should strive to cultivate their sense of play. A truly playful personality can let go of worries and let go of intellectual concerns. A sense of play does more to light the romantic fires than almost any other aspect of a relationship. Number five, acknowledge faults in each other, but don't get upset. After you exit the phenylethylamine stage, which only takes a few months, you might find that your partner's faults are readily apparent. Decide you are going to be willing to work past those weaknesses and see his or her positive qualities. And number six, you find that service is not a burden. If you have a desire to actually serve your partner, even put his or her needs above your own, you've achieved a status of relationship that not many couples attain. So we've got six signposts there for long-lasting intimate relationships, and I'm going to turn back to the story of Elkanah and Hannah and see if we don't find some of those in this story. First, we learn that actions bear out our words. But to Hannah, Elkanah gave a double portion because he loved her. Love is a verb, and so should intimacy be. Love is not simply a feeling, but love is doing, building up, sacrificing for, encouraging. All these actions amount to love. And second, talk to each other. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad?" Now, I'm going to illustrate this with something, and I don't want you to think less of me. And I hope this has nothing to do with the longevity of my own relationship. But I was one day watching a Lifetime Network movie. And in this movie, a woman was kidnapped by a prisoner from the facility in which her husband was the warden. That sounds like a Lifetime Network movie, right? The woman drove her car through the prison gates with nothing more than a cursory wave from the guard. The kidnapper was crouched low in the back seat holding a gun on her. And as they made their way onto the open road, the woman said, "I'll just find a safe place to pull over and then you can let me go." And the kidnapper said, "You're not going anywhere." And she said, "But we had a deal." And he says, "We didn't have a deal. You thought we had a deal." Now there's a message there. Don't assume. Ask. Ask often if you need to. Ask in different ways. Elkanah could have just taken it upon himself to figure out why Hannah was so upset. "Did I leave my dirty robes lying on the earthen floor again? Did I leave a mess for her to clean up last time I sacrificed to the Lord?" But he didn't do that. Instead, he asked, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad?" Number three, eat meals together. Talk over your day. Share the simple things. Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. I really don't know what happened during that dinner. I wish I did, but I bet it involved playfulness. Elkanah doing his best to make Hannah smile. Hannah laughing at his jokes, not because they were funny, but because she loved him. Number four, we found in this reading that Hannah and Elkanah share their spiritual lives. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. And we already know that Hannah had prayed and worshiped on her own. And we can guess that Elkanah prayed and worshiped on his own because he was the head of the household. But then they went together to pray and to worship. Faith is something that you must prioritize, not only as individuals, but as a couple. Not necessarily the same faith or the same worship services, but you must both be grounded in something bigger and beyond yourselves. When I marry couples, I always say to them, you may mean the world to each other, but you cannot be the world to each other. Well, here's what I found in the scripture. What I just shared with you. And then I sent out emails and called people and talked to them, these couples that have celebrated more than 25 years together and ask them what they thought. And I'm going to share that with you. And each of these couples I asked to tell me two things. One, what are the secrets to your relationship? And two, what is the role of your faith and your church in your relationship? Anne and Sue are away this weekend participating in one of the activities that they share every year, volunteering at a Girl Scout camp that means a lot to them. They do things together not only for their enjoyment, but also to give back, to serve people and organizations like Girl Scouts or MCC Austin that mean a lot to them individually and together. Bill and Blake, you are responsible for your own happiness, they said. Love yourself and respect your partner. The bottom line in every relationship is respect. We rely heavily on our faith friends for prayers when times are tough and from all of those who support our relationship. Bobby and Rosie. Mutual respect and a sense of humor. Also, a vacation from one another can be very beneficial. The church strengthens our spiritual bond with God and with each other and blesses the love we have shared for almost 55 years. Brent and Ginger, do not go to bed angry and make sure the person is someone you cannot live without. Be patient and kind, always telling the truth in love. It took us a long time to learn that it is better to be kind than to be right. We were both raised in church homes, and our faith is key to who we are as individuals. As a couple, our church brings us a community, an extended family, a spiritual center to nurture our love, faith, and commitment to God and to each other. There will be times when it seems easier to walk away from problems than to work through them. This faith and commitment helps you weather the hard times and enriches the good times. Mary and Deborah say, prioritize your partner and your relationship. Invest time in each other and give each other space. Work and play together. Surround yourself with friends who love you and support you and have similar values. Trust each other. Take care of each other during hard times, loss, and sickness. Let church give depth and quality to your relationship. Pray together. Go to church together. Get involved in the life and service of the church together. Doug and Ray, I've just got to say, they've been together a long time, and that picture was taken on their wedding day. And I don't want us to lose sight of that blessing. I don't want it to become commonplace. There's a lot of work and a lot of love and a lot of prayer to get us to that day. Doug and Ray say, try always to think about the other person in all that you do and to think about how the actions of each of you affect the other as lovers and partners. We think of ourselves as spiritually one. Gail and Nancy, treat each other as equals. Keep the lines of communication open and frequent with honest ownership of one's own missteps and the willingness to listen to the other. also maintaining the ability to playfully interact with a sense of humor and lots of hugs. Our mutual faith, spirituality, and compassion for each other and others is one of the bedrocks of our relationship. Our relationship as a couple is honored, valued, and supported by our church community and functions as our extended family. Judy and Karen, y'all didn't send me these words. I made them up for you. And it was not hard because this is what I see from you. Never stop learning more about each other and learning together. Always speak of each other with love and respect. Take new adventures together and cherish old relationships. Make your church a priority that you give back to with your time and your talent and your treasure. Liz and Carly, continue to learn more about each other. Share not only your present, but also your childhood stories. Have compassion for one another. Have faith that God goes before us always, and we need to pray for God's direction in all of our choices. Our church is our chosen family where we learn why Jesus came to earth for us. Mark and Ross, discuss even the most disagreeable topics and then listen to each other. Don't yell. Don't roll your eyes. Don't be dismissive. But discuss each viewpoint and come to resolution. Nowhere in the couple's guidebook, if that's a thing, does it say there has to be a winner in any discussion. Each has to feel inside they were heard, and then you can kiss and move past the issue. We both come from church backgrounds. In discovering MCC Austin, we felt included. We have varied interests, but church is one activity we enjoy and share together. Faith is the backbone to our relationship, in trust, in commitment, and in our community. Helen and Shelley, take one day at a time. Be respectful and kind to each other. Laugh, smile, have fun together. Give one another space and have independent interests. Work calmly through any differences. Be truthful, and most importantly, be yourself. Worship centers us for the week. God and God's creation are the best of all gifts. Church is a place to meet quality friends. Our church family gives us a sense of true belonging. Faith is the cornerstone of our relationship, which is trust, confidence, and love for one another, and a strong belief in God. Terry and Manuel, remember to be grateful. They are grateful for many things, and especially that both of their families have been accepting of their relationship from the beginning. They are grounded in their families, which includes this church. The most important thing to them, the church is the most important thing to them, and as they grow older, they are hoping that they will be able to depend on their church. Karen Sun and Tony Lucas, I don't have a picture for them, but they say find a partner with whom you share interests and values. While it's true that opposites attract over the long haul, the more interest you share results in more reason to enjoy time together. Our faith is a bond and an anchor for our relationship. And one more, and I don't have their picture, and I'm sorry. Janelle and Ed say, well, first of all, I have to tell you that they celebrated their 71st wedding anniversary. And I asked them just this morning, what is it? What's the secret? And Janelle said, love and respect, to which he said, gosh, You just pulled the words right out of my mind. And forgiveness and patience. Friends, all of these things that you've heard about love and kindness and compassion and patience can be, I think, summed up in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Love never fails. Amen.